This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ.
My name is Ray Reynolds. I'm one of the ministers at the Somerdale Church of Christ. I have the pleasure of working with Billy Lambert, who is one of our ministers there, and also the host of this television program. Billy's just had back surgery, and so he's down for a little while doing therapy, and he'd asked me to come in and conduct a few lessons that he had prepared for Getting to Know Your Bible. So I appreciate your time here today. I want to encourage you to sign up for the free Bible Correspondence Course. The purpose of this program is to encourage people to get to know their Bible. Wouldn't you love to know more about the Word of God? These free courses are non-denominational, and they will encourage you to study the Bible more effectively. And you can sign up. We're going to give you just a moment here and pause so that you can learn more about the Bible course.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible Correspondence Course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Somerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
One of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Ecclesiastes. It's funny, when I talk to people about my favorite book of the Bible, they say, "Really, Ecclesiastes? That's your favorite?" And I say, "Absolutely." One of the reasons why I love the book of Ecclesiastes is because it was written by a man named Solomon. Now, Solomon, of course, you probably know, was King Solomon. He wrote at least three books in our Old Testament. He wrote the book of Proverbs, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and he wrote the Song of Songs, or we often call it the Song of Solomon. He loved poetry, and he loved to be able to weave together stories and illustrations to teach his children how to better serve God. In fact, the Proverbs are basically a collection of things that he had learned, maybe from his travels, but certainly from the wisdom he had gathered around the world. And he said to his sons, "I want you to learn these great words of wisdom." And as he writes down the words of Proverbs, some people say he may have written that early on in his life to try to make sure that his children were taught the ways of God and also great lessons for living. And also scholars believe that Ecclesiastes was probably written in his latter days. And we can see that clearly from the first chapter and from the last chapter in this great book. Ecclesiastes is written from the perspective of Solomon, who at one point, at this maybe the last stages of his life, says, "I want to tell you all the things I did wrong and how you can make sure you get it right." That's basically the way that I would summarize Ecclesiastes. Most of my life, I had a great relationship with my grandparents before they passed away. My early years was spent many times in the summer with my grandparents. I lived in the same small town as one set of my grandparents, my maternal grandparents. And I could still to this day have images in my mind of riding my bicycle over to my grandfather's house. And I can't ever remember entering his house or traveling with him in the summer or over Christmas break that he didn't have a Bible sitting on the edge of his chair. He would sometimes sit in that recliner for hours reading his Bible. In fact, one of the joys that I was given after his passing was to inherit his Bible. I have it in my collection at the church office. In fact, I have the Bibles of all of my grandparents and of my mother, who passed away about a decade ago. And it is a joy for me to sit down and read the Bible that they read and the notes that they made in the columns. And one of the reasons why I loved going and visiting my grandfather so much and listening to his words of wisdom was he liked to tell stories about the good old days and also how the good old days weren't always so good. That's the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon says to his readers, "I did just about everything I wanted to do. Nothing was withheld from my hand," and he still didn't find what he was looking for. At the end of the last chapter, he will remind his readers that the importance of living a life well lived, he says, is to, in the conclusion, fear God and keep his commandments. Here in the early parts of Ecclesiastes, specifically chapter 3, where we find my favorite passages of Scripture, is he tells his readers there's a time for everything. In his wisdom, Solomon understood a pattern of life. If you go back to the creation account in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, you know that God created the earth with cycles. We call them seasons. That there are four seasons of life. We have the winter, the spring, the summer, and the fall. And then the season repeats itself. All things on cycles. All things with seasons. The earth, the moon, everything rotates exactly as God has directed. So Solomon uses that wisdom that is learned from Genesis and teaches us the same is true of life. Life is full of seasons. Life is full of cycles. And he wants his readers to know that there is a purpose for every cycle and every season on the earth. In fact, he's going to give us at least eight things that we need to consider in taking this in the right perspective. He begins in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes in verse 1, I'm reading from the New King James Version, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." The Lord is an orchestrator. He's a planner. He's a designer. God created the entire world by his own hands. In his foreknowledge and thought, he knew exactly how to design the earth. Now, isn't that neat? You look at the creation account for a moment. And you begin to see how God created, and each day is systematic, it's planned, it's pre-organized, in such a way that each element of creation was necessary for what would come on the next day. And then the crowning glory of creation. And as we see there, that last sixth day of creation, God creates his greatest gift to the world, was humanity. He creates Adam. And then from Adam, he creates Eve. He created all things in just the right way. We know that our Creator, that our God, is one who plans just right. He knows exactly what we need, and he knows exactly when we need it. Paul will say to his readers that God supplies our needs according to his riches. I love what he tells Jeremiah, "Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you." God, even before creation, knew exactly what to do and what plan to put into action if man were to fall, and Adam and Eve did fall. We read the story and the account in Genesis chapter 3. And so Solomon says, as we begin to understand the cycles of life, you need to know that there is a purpose for everything under heaven. There is not one action, one event that happens on this rock, on the earth, that God looks at the host of heaven and says, "Well, I didn't see that coming." There's not a single thing that has ever happened that God didn't know about and didn't plan accordingly. God has a purpose for everything under heaven. Now, that's important for the rest of the book of Ecclesiastes, because Solomon sees that even in his worst days, and even as he was making all those mistakes he's going to give an account for in this book, that God was still with him. And that God was going to bring those things into an account. And that there would be a purpose, a plan, for Solomon to get it right. Well, Solomon's already committed those acts. He's already done the things that he shouldn't have done. How can this book be of any profit to me and to you? Well, Solomon says, don't make the same mistakes I made. I have learned from examples of others on mistakes not to make. I watched my grandmother once turn down a one-way street and get sideswiped. You don't go down a one-way street because that will happen. I watched my little brother do things, and I'm sure he's watched me as well do things, and we have learned from each other's examples, both good and bad. Solomon says, learn from me. Listen to my wisdom, he tells us. So everything has a purpose under heaven. Notice verse 2. In this list, he begins by saying there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. There are changes and there are seasons, verse 1. Along with our perspective changing and seeing the whole picture, the second thought is it should affect your lifestyle. Everybody is born. Did you know from the moment that you're born, you're immediately dying? There is a point, some point in our lives, where we will take our last breath. Or as Solomon would say, our body returns to the dust. The question is, when that moment comes, will you be ready? Will you be prepared? When you draw your final breath, when that last day finally comes in your life and you meet God in judgment, will you be ready? God has a purpose and a plan for everything under heaven. He has designed, it is His will, that you be saved. But it is your choice. He's not going to force you. So Solomon says you need to remember that there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up. That's an example of sowing and reaping, isn't it? You know, there are so many things that we have to, if we want to gain something, we have to work for it. If I want to be able to enjoy fresh tomatoes in a few weeks, I better get started on planting them in my garden. If I want to enjoy some flowers, if I want to enjoy the shade of a tree, I better get to planting those things very quickly or it will never happen. He says you need to plant, and then there's the time that comes that you need to pluck up, that you need to go and you need to reap that. It is. I went time on a vacation for a couple of weeks, and I rarely take a two-week vacation. And I had asked a friend of mine to come by the garden and take some of the vegetables out of the garden, and he forgot. And I'll tell you, it was a sad sight when I got home and I walked back there and saw vegetables rotting on the vine and rotting in their place. I thought, oh, these could have been enjoyed. When you plant something, you have to be prepared for what comes. That's why the Bible talks about sowing and reaping. What you sow, you will reap. It's the same with good things as it is with bad things. If you sow discord, there's going to be division. If you sow things that are unkind and wicked, you have to expect that there's going to be unrighteous things that come as a result. So think about the perspective and think about also your lifestyle. And third of all, notice here in verse 3, the activities that you do while you're on the earth. He says there's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. I know we don't have a great deal of time on the broadcast to discuss every single subject at length, but it is clear here that Solomon says sometimes there is, and he'll say later, a time for war. There's a time when something, or in this case, maybe someone, must die. But he says there's also a time for healing. Oftentimes, we will, when someone's done us wrong, especially if it's something criminally wrong, we immediately want punishment. We want to see them answer for their sins and for their mistakes. We feel wronged as a result of it. We might learn to understand forgiveness and mercy, but in the moment, we just can't see it. We think that immediately something must be done wrong. Now, there are many passages that can teach us more about this great subject, about when there is a time for war, when there's a time to kill. But we also notice here there's a time for healing, and it takes wisdom to know the difference between the two. And then he says also along with this, there's a time to break down and a time to build up. In our area this last year, we had a hurricane come through, Hurricane Sally, and it devastated most of our area. And as if that wasn't bad enough through the pandemic, we also had this Hurricane Sally followed by two others, Zeta and Eta, three hurricanes in the same year. And if you paid attention to the news, you know this really was hard for our economy, and it was hard for people living here. And for many of these individuals who suffered, many of us, including myself, there are certain things that have been inflicted with a lot of damage, and we have to sit around and decide, do we want to tear it down? Do we want to destroy it? Or are we going to leave it? And there are many houses that still have tarps on them because families are trying to decide, do they have enough money to be able to put a new roof on? Do they want to rebuild the barn, or do they want to just try to repair it? Even my outhouse, the little outbuilding behind my house, has a whole wall removed off of it, you know, and we'll tarp it, and we'll, at some point, I'm going to have to make a decision. Do I tear it down and start over, or do I repair it? And in our lives, we have to make a decision. When is it time to tear something down, and when is it time to build it up? He says, you've got to make those decisions. Notice verse 4, and this deals with not just our activities, but also our emotions. He says, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. There will be seasons in your life of sadness. There will be seasons of your life of depression and anxiety, frustration and misery. But we need to remember when we go through those seasons, maybe you're going through in a season like that right now, that it's only a season. You know, I love the summer weather, but there comes a point living on the Alabama Gulf Coast that I've had enough. When it reaches 110 degrees by the humidity, I am ready for a break, and I pray for the winter months. And then as the winter months come, I'm so excited to be able to enjoy some cold weather. I don't mind scraping the windshield when it's necessary. I don't mind putting on a coat from time to time. But as you endure the third month of winter, you begin to say, man, I sure wish it was summer again. Solomon wisely puts this in a perspective for us to realize that just like there are seasons when it comes to our climate, when it comes to nature, there are also seasons of life. And if you're going through a tough time, know it's just a season, that it will pass. Things can't be bad forever. In fact, even if they are while you're living, if you're walking with Christ, it won't be when you leave this earth. He says, recognize there are times to cry. Recognize there are times to weep, but there are also times to laugh. You need to enjoy your life. You need to see God's presence in your life. You need to experience good things while you're living. So realize it's not always going to be bad. Then on the flip side, when things are going really good and you say, man, I just don't see how things could get any better than the way they are right now. I mean, I've finally got money in my bank account. I finally am where I want to be in my relationships with my family and friends. I finally got the job that I want. Recognize that in that moment, as wonderful as those things are, there will be a time when those things might pass. And you need to save your money. And you need to preserve those relationships. And you need to be focused on what might come. And don't forget where you've come from, Solomon might also encourage us to say. And then he says there's a time to mourn and a time to dance. When we read the word dancing there, we understand that it means joy and jubilation. Like whenever your child takes its first steps or says their first words, you just are so excited with joy. You're literally almost dancing with joy. You're so happy. There are times to mourn. And there are moments in your life when you lose loved ones or you go through suffering and you're sad. But he says, realize it's just a season. There should be seasons of life where there's happiness. Some of you have experienced this with your children. You've said, man, I had a child, a couple, maybe all your children, you had some tough seasons with them where there were things they did, things they said that, oh, it just hurt you. But then those children grow up. And as they get older, they have children of their own. And oh, it's wonderful when the grandchildren come to the house and you get to spoil them and you get to treat them with all this love and kindness and chocolate and you send them home to be with their parents, the kids that you raised, and you look so forward to spoiling those grandkids, and you're thankful that you had children so they could bring you grandchildren. So there are times of sadness and suffering, but realize there are times of joy and jubilation that can and will follow. So keep in mind on your emotions. The fifth thing here in verse 5 is our relationships. He says, there's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. As we begin to go through our life, we make friends with individuals that maybe at an early stage of our life, maybe we had a really good friend, a best friend, and as you get older, you kind of fall out of that relationship. The interesting thing about social media, and many of you, if you're on social media, you know this, you get to recontact or reconnect with these people that you haven't seen in a while, that you don't know that well anymore. You knew them when they were young. And maybe you have those relationships from your youth that you've kept all these many years. And congratulations on that, because some of us, we don't have that privilege. We move away, or they move away, college, marriage, and life happens. But as we begin to see this, he says, take into consideration the relationships that you have. Take into consideration the people that you keep close to you and the people that you have to push away. There are people who conduct themselves in a way that is ungodly, and you have to say, I can't tolerate that behavior. I just can't be around people that are practicing such wickedness. It's not that you don't love them. It's not that you don't want to have a relationship with them. But sometimes that added stress and frustration and anxiety and sin, in many cases, will only draw you down. Solomon realized this the hard way, didn't he? When you begin to look at his life, he collected many things. He collected possessions. He collected property. And he also collected women. And in his time on the earth, he married and he made concubines of many women, using them as property to make an association with another nation, maybe marrying the princess of one nation, bringing them into his house. But the sad thing was, bringing these women in who practiced idolatry, he had to allow them to build temples for their idols, and effectively using the money that had been set aside for the king from the treasury of the people of God to build these idol temples. And then he had to allow these women and their servants to practice those religions. And they raised their children, if they had children, to practice those religions. And by the time Solomon leaves his position of power and passes away, the very next thing we learn from his children and from those that took power after his death is the nation would be divided. Solomon is seeing the effects of this. And if you don't believe that, read back over the book of Proverbs. He talks about a woman who was trying to lure. He says, I can see through the lattice. It's almost like he's seeing through time and seeing himself in the image of this young man that is drawn and enticed by a woman who's wanting to commit adultery. But then look at how Proverbs ends the book. It ends with the virtuous woman. And the writer of that proverb reminds us that if you find a virtuous woman, she's greater than rubies. And so Solomon's learning that as he's writing the book of Ecclesiastes. He's saying, I gathered people. I collected people. I had relationships with people. I embraced people that I shouldn't have. So know when to bring people into your circle, and also know when it's important to push some away. Number six here, notice this sixth verse is about our possessions. He says there's a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away. To gain and to lose. There are some things that are worth pursuing. There are some things that are worth attaining and others that need to be left alone. He says you can gain some things, but you also need to lose some things. I think it's interesting looking at the words of Jesus, how many times he uses phrases from the book of Proverbs and from the wisdom of Solomon to get across his point. He will tell his disciples that it's important that they not try to gain the whole world because they will lose their soul. But if they will choose to lose or to give up the rest of the world, they will gain their soul. They will gain salvation. We have to make a choice. Is it worth it? Will it affect me spiritually? Is gaining this, is taking this as a possession, going to hinder my eternal life? People have said to me, and I've had this conversation with individuals. They say, well, if I just could save up enough money and get that boat, I got to have that boat. I got to have that RV. I've got to have it. I've got a second job. My wife's working extra hours to get those possessions because I know we'll be able to spend more time together as a family. And you watch as soon as that family gets that possession that they have longed for and saved for, that then they use it to take them away from the Lord's work or from the worship on the first day of the week. So think about your possessions. Number seven, there's a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. There's a time that things are going to be difficult, to be torn away, or to replace, to restore a relationship. And there's also a time in which you need to be silent. There are times probably in your life that you've regretted saying something. We need to learn the art of silence, but we also need to have the courage to speak when necessary. Many people will stand over a grave or over a casket and think of the things they wish they had said. Don't be silent in those times when something needs to be said. But if you can hold on to it, unless it can be spoken in love, don't say it if it's going to harm, destroy, or discourage. And then finally, verse 8, there's a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time of war and a time of peace. This talks about our values. And our value system, our moral system, even today in our culture, is being attacked. People want to tell you what to believe, and they want to tell you how you should react in certain situations. Be careful that you consider all your actions in light, not of someone's opinion, but of the Word of God. Our values need to be very clear. I know there are things, there are people, there's a difference between loving a thing and loving a person. And I also understand that when I love people, I treat them with love. The Bible says even we're supposed to love our enemies. That's a tough one. We'll have to cover that another day. But we need to love all people. We need to remind them that they're children of God just as we are. And we, with compassion and with mercy and with grace, treat people the way God would want us to treat them. Treat them as the golden rule says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Treat them the way we want to be treated. A time of war and a time of peace means there are times that by standing up for what you believe and standing up for your country and standing up for your family is going to cause conflict. And sometimes there are times when that conflict is necessary. Again, a subject for another day. But these are things that Solomon says you need to value, you need to look at, you need to focus on when you keep things in the right perspective. There is a time and a purpose for everything. I believe there's a purpose for you watching this program. You may have set it on your DVR. You may watch it every time it pops up. And there's a reason why that is, because you know you need to get to know your Bible, that you need to walk with God a little more faithfully. So we encourage you to keep pursuing that. Find a church. In fact, we'll help you find a Church of Christ in your community if you reach out to us. Find people that think like this. Find a church that practices and teaches the Bible. And if you'd like to learn more about your Bible, we hope that you'll call the 1-800 number or that you'll write to us and study this free Bible correspondence course. It will be a blessing to you, I promise you. I'll end the same way that Billy always ends each broadcast, as we want the Lord to bless you and we want the Lord to keep you. That is our prayer.
We want to help you as much as possible in your search for a personal relationship with God. You can now easily access our free Bible correspondence course online at gettingtoknowyourbible.com. If there's any way we can help you grow closer to God, please email us at gettingtoknowyourbible@yahoo.com or call us anytime at 1-877-711-5214.